This morning, before we partake of communion, I want to talk about the blood of Jesus that makes it possible for us to partake of communion. Now, I'd like to start in the Old Testament, and I'll be reading, well, I won't be reading this portion right now, and I'll be using a lot of Exodus, so I'm not going to mention which verses. As you recall, Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 children. He was favored by his father, and because of this special attention that he received from his dad, he was hated by his other brothers. He had quite an eventful life. Joseph went from being a shepherd of a flock to a prisoner and finally to a governor in Egypt. And each event in his life bonded him closer and closer to his Lord, closer to God. Joseph never complained. At least you never hear about it in the Bible. So he never complained about all his circumstances. We often do. They seem minor compared to what Joseph went through. He was always faithful and obedient to God, a God that would direct his steps. When the famine started and the people from all over Egypt and the surrounding countries are forced to come to Joseph to buy grain, Jacob and his children, Joseph's brothers, also came. They came from Canaan. And they also bought grain there. And through this process, Joseph made himself known to his brothers and father. And with the Pharaoh's permission, his family moved to Egypt. When Jacob died, Joseph with his brothers and a large Egyptian escort returned back to Canaan and buried him in a cave of his father's. Then sometime later, at the age of about 110 years old, Joseph died, and he was placed in a coffin in Egypt with the instructions that when God came to their aid, then they would take his remains out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 says the Israelites lived in Egypt for 430 years, during which the family continued to grow and grow. Many of us have family that have come from England or who knows from where, from Russia, Ukraine, different places in the world, only a few generations ago. And look how it's expanded in just that short a time. You can imagine how large the Israelite population grew in 430 years, especially when you have 12 brothers. But remember, these were Hebrews living in an Egyptian country. And when the new king took over Egypt, he did not allow the great things Joseph had. He did not know all the great things that Joseph had done. But he saw the children of Israel were many and that they were mighty. And he had the Egyptian taskmasters make slaves out of the Hebrew children. But no matter what the Egyptians did, the Israelites were fruitful and prospered so that the land was full of them. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, even went one step further when he asked the midwives this: when you do your duties as a midwife for the Hebrew women and you see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. From Exodus chapter 1, verse 16. But they wouldn't do this. And God was kind to the midwives, and they were able to have children of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to his people that every boy that was born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. This was a means of controlling the population of the Hebrews. The bottom line is that the Israelites were slaves for most of the time that they lived in Egypt. They were oppressed and they were treated badly. The Hebrews did not deserve the abuse that was brought upon them by Pharaoh and the taskmasters. There are many people in the world today that are in a similar position. They are being burdened by leaders of their country. The conditions under which they live are heartbreaking. They have no medical care, clean drinking water, housing, or food. They have no home, and many have no family. And they have no freedom of worship as we have here today. Is this the way God intended people to live? Are people supposed to be slaves to other people? I don't believe that the people of today are expected to live a life of slavery any more than the Hebrew people who were under Pharaoh's jurisdiction after the death of Joseph. But God was in control during this time of Hebrew captivity, just as he is in control today. He's as powerful today as he was back then. God's plan was to liberate the Israelites' people according to his timetable and according to his way. Some of the Israelites looked to God and prayed for God to help them, and he heard their prayers. But many of the Israelites had adopted the gods of the Egyptians and did not know about the one true God. And that was the case that Moses had to fight with again and again when he led the people out of Egypt. We think that, like in the movie, they all sang their songs, you know, Charlton Heston, right? And you can see them singing, and they're carrying the body of Joseph, and they're doing all the right, correct religious things. Well, they weren't. There would be a minority of people that actually knew about God at that time. Some people today are also being oppressed by strong leaders and are looking to God for help. Some are also slaves to their sins, such as drugs, alcohol, crazy living, jealousy, greed, and so on. Many of these people are living worldly lives and have forgotten about the God who created them. In Genesis chapter 17, God made a covenant with Abraham. God said, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offspring after you." And God never lost his connection with the Israelites, even if they forgot about him. They were and are God's chosen people. God knew what they were doing and the suffering that they were under. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows each of his children. He knows each one of us, where they are going, what they are doing, even if they forget about him. God can and will liberate his people from the bondage of sin if they will keep their eyes focused on him and their ears open to his voice speaking through the Holy Spirit. God spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." God was revealing a plan to Moses and Aaron that would result in the liberation of the Israelites from bondage. God's plan was to harden the heart of Pharaoh and at the same time teach the Israelites to trust him, to trust his word. It is interesting to note that Moses and Aaron informed Pharaoh about each one of those plagues before they came about. But God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he never let that influence him. He was a stubborn man. Pharaoh was conceited, snobbish, selfish, and a proud individual. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2 tells us this, "And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.'" Pharaoh thought himself as being divine or godly. He did not believe there was a power more powerful than himself or his gods. As long as Pharaoh could keep the Israelites in Egypt, he had control of them. But as soon as they would leave Egypt, he would lose his control. So he did not want them to leave. There was a way for him to keep his power, to build his projects, his roads, his monuments, to be a slave for him. God said, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt with mighty acts of judgment. I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites." From Exodus chapter 7. God said this to reinforce his mighty power and to remind the people that he truly was God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened by his actions, his disobedience, and his sinful nature. Each one of us hardens our heart when we turn our way from God, when we believe we are in control of our life, when we live according to the standards set forth by the world, and when we fail to live according to the word of God, we are, in essence, hardening our heart as well. God's plan was to send 10 different plagues upon Pharaoh and the land of Egypt, and after each plague, Pharaoh's heart would be hardened because of his own disobedience and his unbelief in the power of God. But after the final plague, which involved the death of his first son, Pharaoh had a change of heart. Just before the last and final plague, the Lord called Moses and Aaron together and told them what he wanted them to do. God told them that the very month they were in would be the first month of their new year. God changed the calendar. Something new was about to happen, which would give the Israelites a time to rejoice and to start a new life. God was preparing to liberate them from bondage of slavery. He wanted to lead them to the promised land. God was ready to initiate his plan of salvation for the Israelites. It was not of their own doing. God was in complete control. God told them that on the 10th day of the month, each family was to take a lamb for the family. And if the family was small, the lamb could be shared between two families. The animal could be either a lamb or a goat, but it had to be perfect. That is, it could not have any blemishes or defects. Then after they looked after it for about 4 days, on the 14th day of the month, in the evening, the perfect animal was to be slaughtered. I know what it's like when you have a little, doesn't matter what it is. Almost all animals are cute when they're young, aren't they? And if you dare let one of those things in your house for 4 days, boy, it'd be hard to put that on the table. The kids would have a hard time with that, never mind myself or Alice. But after the animal was slaughtered, the blood from the animal was put on the top and the sides of the door frames of the houses of the people who would eat the animal. God went on to say that the animal must be roasted and not cooked in water or eaten raw. Scripture says that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, heads, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. Exodus chapter 12. As you can see, God was very specific about his instructions and how he would lead them to safety. And God's word recorded in the Bible gives us specific instructions that will lead us to a new and different life here on earth and in the coming kingdom. The Lord went on to say, this is how you were to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Exodus 12, verse 11. I guess nowadays we'd say we better have our suitcases packed and the car gassed up. Be ready to go. The Israelites were told to tuck in their robe in their belt so that they could lift it away from their sandals and their feet, that they would not trip under it when they were given the signal to move. Their sandals were to be placed on their feet and their staff was to be placed in their hand. They were to eat the meal in a hurry. So as soon as Pharaoh released them, they were going to leave Egypt. God said, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And this day you are to commemorate. For all the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. The Lord followed through with his plan, and the Israelites were liberated. This is a day that the Jewish people still celebrate. The people remember the blood of the Lamb that saved them from the harsh rules and treatment of the Egyptians and the Pharaoh. They were given a new day, a fresh beginning in life, and freedom to remember and worship God who saved them. The Jewish Passover was celebrated earlier this year at the end of March. Today is July 25th, and Pastor Jeremy will be taking us in, will be leading us in taking communion. Many of you have celebrated communion many times in your life, and today you will have the opportunity to do so again. Scripture reading today talks about the event called the Passover. We call our celebration the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. The Passover was a picture of what God had in mind for us. Man has a sinful nature because of what Adam and Eve did. Man is born with a nature that tends towards sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. In other words, there was a void between God and them. And disobedience to God is a sin that places us distant from God. God has loved man from the very beginning, and from the very beginning had a plan to redeem him. Before the birth of Jesus, people repented and sacrificed the blood of animals to show God that they were sorry for the sinful acts and to show they wanted a right relationship with him. This was a serious act because no one wanted to sacrifice a perfect, non-blemished animal without a very just cause and assuring their relationship was with God was a just cause. God sent Jesus into the world so that by believing, repenting, and accepting him as our own personal Savior and Lord, our relationship might be restored. As Matthew says in chapter 26, verses 27 and 28, "And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.' For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. Jesus came into this world to bear our sins. He took every sin we have ever committed and ever will commit to the foot of the cross, and there he took our punishment for us. Just as that little lamb sacrificed his blood for the liberation of the Israelites, Jesus sacrificed his blood for the salvation of each one of us. The blood of the cross saves us spiritually, just as the lamb's blood was. Just as it was placed on the doorposts and on the top of the house, and how it saved them. But this final act, the shed of the blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus assures us of a safe journey into his presence where we will spend eternity. We are new creations because of our repentance and acceptance as Jesus as our Savior. Paul said to the Corinthian people, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old one is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. We are a new people inside because of the Holy Spirit who lives within our heart, gives us new life. The cross has bridged the gap between us and God. We have been reconciled with the Father. God said to the Israelites, "This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." Exodus 12, verse 14. And when Jesus had gathered around the table in the upper room celebrating Passover, he rose from the table and picked up the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he picked up the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." God did not want the Israelites to forget what he did for them. So he asked them to remember and celebrate a new Passover. The Son, Jesus, does not want us to forget what he did for us. So we remember the significance of the cross whenever we celebrate communion. Jesus gave his very best for you and I, and we should be willing to give our very best to him. God's love enabled us to be redeemed, saved, and restored to a right relationship with him. And his love assures us of a place in his mansion just over the hilltop where you will spend eternity with him in his kingdom. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But what greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends? But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John chapter 15, verse 13, and Romans 5, 8. This is a time of rejoicing and praising because we have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. The ceremony by which we are to renew our personal covenant with God is the Lord's Supper. We are to make this our regular time of self-examination and confession of sin. Then we follow those in the Bible as we renew our personal allegiance to our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Corinthian people, "Therefore, if you are in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled himself to us through Christ." We are a new people on the inside because of the Holy Spirit who lives within our heart, gives us new life. The cross has bridged the gap between us and God. We have been reconciled to the Father. When Jesus had gathered around the table in the upper room celebrating Passover, he rose from the table and picked up the bread. And he said, "Take it, eat it. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he picked up the cup and said, "This is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And today, we partake of communion in remembrance of him. God did not want the Israelites to forget what he did for them, and he does not want us to forget what he has done for each one of us. Jesus does not want us to forget what he did for us, so we remember the significance of the cross whenever we celebrate communion. In conclusion, I want to read from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. I have read this before. I'm going to read this again. Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 17. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'"